our classes here. But Psalm 100 this morning, I read it off the top, and I'm going to read it again. I'm allowed to read the Bible twice on a Sunday morning, the same passage. If you miss it the first time around, we're going to do this a second time. Psalm 100, in a text I am simply entitling, Praise Him. Praise Him. We are celebrating what God has done here through these years, through these months. But it's not about us. This is about the Lord. And I thought our focus should again this morning be upon Him. And ultimately that we have come to praise and to worship God. For when our thinking about God is right, everything else is right as well. But when our thinking about God is wrong, and our focus is off of Him, then things start to go sideways. And so this morning, praise Him. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing, and we have done that. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to how many generations? All generations. Amen. One of the highlights of my pastoral life has occurred on a number of occasions when I had the opportunity, probably been six or seven times until they discontinued them, but to attend a pastor's conference at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. If nothing else, but to be on that campus is an experience in itself and know the history of that place under the founding of D.L. Moody. There's actually a little library, a little museum dedicated to him, and you can hear him preaching in the old, had old recordings of him and Irish Shankey, and it's very, very interesting for those of you who have an interest in church history. But visiting the campus of the Moody Bible Institute and hearing some of the great preachers, probably the who's who of North American and even worldwide preaching, I've had the opportunity and the privilege of hearing during the number of times that I have had the opportunity to go and spend a week there, typically in the month of May, hearing that. I have to make a confession this morning. One Wednesday evening, I played hooky and watched a Stanley Cup semifinal game at the Chicago Arena. But aside from that, great opportunity to be at those conferences. And the highlight of those conferences often was being in an auditorium with a grand pipe organ. I kind of miss the pipe organ. I know I date myself, but one time, I'm getting sideways here. That's okay. Lunch is at 12. We got a tour of the Moody Church. What's the name of the pastor? Roy, you'll remember, he just stepped down a few years ago. He doesn't know. It doesn't matter. The pastor gave us a tour of the, Marcella, well, you remember, won't you? I need to know his name. No, he didn't remember either. Okay, anyway. He gave us a tour of the church. And grand pipe organ, and he got the organist to come and to play. It was just marvelous sound. But there's also one in the auditorium at the Moody Bible Institute. If you're ever in Chicago, it's worth visiting. And the grand organ would play, and the song that we sang this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was sung to that organ by 1,000 pastors in the auditorium. That sends chills down your spine. It was just marvelous. And I thought to myself, one day heaven, we'll get this concert every day as millions of people surround the throne and sing praises to God. Don't be scared of dying. Man, this is going to be wonderful, this kind of thing that's coming. And so as that grand those grand voices were lifted to God, I thought about how wonderful it is to praise the Lord and to experience the blessing of being in His presence and hearing voices praise Him. We were made to praise God. We were created to bless His name. And this morning we want to talk about that as we've come to remember and to celebrate and to thank Him. That is what I thought should be the theme this morning as we get our focus upon the subject of God. There are many things to praise God for. I was thinking about passing the microphone around this morning, but I just said, no, I wouldn't do that, and I saw Roy. I said, let's get him up here as a little bit of a flashback and also to pray for him in terms of their future. But if I had passed the mic around, I'm sure there would have been many reasons to, oh, we didn't dismiss the children. Sorry, thank you for waving back there. So any children want to go through age 12, you're dismissed for your class this morning, all right? So go ahead, follow Carol out the door. There are a few of you. Sorry. Erwin Lutzer, that was the pastor's name. Thank you for the interruption. At Moody Church. And so this morning I draw your attention to the theme of God. And to center your minds upon who He is. And this morning specifically, why we should praise Him. For 50 years He has looked after this church. For 18 months He has brought us through COVID. And His faithfulness has been wonderful. In terms of the people's support for us as a staff here at the church, the financial aspect of things that you would wonder about, we are in a better financial position than we were than we began when we began COVID. You go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for working and for your obedience in that regard. For a fall that is in front of us, He has been faithful. And so this morning I want to simply focus upon three reasons why we should praise the Lord. Hear from Psalm 100, and I would just take your focus to the fifth verse. Verse 5 gives us three reasons to praise God. And I didn't alliterate this morning. They come right out of the text. Right? And so if you need a reason this morning, I hope when you leave this morning, if you don't have a reason to praise God, hopefully when you leave this morning, you will have three. Number one. We praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for His goodness. God is good. We used to sing the song, right? God is good, and how would you respond? Anybody remember? We're flashback this morning, all right? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's do that again. God is good. All the time, one more time, God is good. All the time. Okay, now we can go home. You just know that, and that's going to set you off in the right direction. God is good. The Psalms reiterate that theme repeatedly. Psalm 25:8, God, good and upright is the Lord. Psalm 86:5, you are forgiving and good, O Lord. Psalm 106:1, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Psalm 136:1, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Jeremiah 33:11, give thanks to the Lord Almighty for the Lord is good. Good. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. And in case you miss it, the Bible tells us that the Lord is good. God is always good. God is never not good. All that is bad is not from God. For God is good. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is good. He is good, and everything that he does is good. In fact, the foundation of our ethics, our morality, and I would venture to say most of our laws, although that may be changing, reside in the fact that God is good. Where do we get the idea of what goodness even is? It comes out of our understanding of who God is and his character and his identity. He is the measuring stick that differentiates good from bad. And there's an inherent knowledge within man in terms of what good is. I find that very interesting. Where does that come from? From the fact that we are created in the image of God, and we have this intrinsic understanding in terms of what goodness is. Last night I fell asleep actually watching it, but I'm fascinated. I'll say it. I'm fascinated with Adolf Hitler. And I've watched a number of biographies. Last night again, there was something on Netflix, a biography of his life and his character. And I'm just fascinated in terms of why and how he was so influential, and how millions of people would follow this guy. Oh, make no mistake, the human heart has not changed. People readily follow that which makes no sense. But we all know intrinsically now as we look back that he was evil. That was not good. That you can exterminate 6 million Jews and somehow think that that is good. We know intrinsically that is not good. But the heart can be deceived, where we can make good evil and evil good, which is to a degree where our culture is going today. But we know what good is, and God is good. And he is good whether I feel like he is good or whether I don't feel like he is good. For that goodness transcends our emotions. It also transcends the circumstances of our lives. His goodness is not dependent upon myself. His goodness is there in spite of who I am. God remains good. And he's good not only to the righteous, he's also good to the unrighteous. His goodness is beyond what we might even consider to be fair. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your... I'm in the wrong place. No, that's right. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. His goodness is extended to all people, in spite of the fact whether they acknowledge him or not. God is good and does good to this world. He's never not good. Psalm 145, 9, the Lord is good to all. He has a compassion on all he has made. One of the things that is good to do, as we're doing again this morning, is to reflect upon the goodness of God, how he has been good to this church, but specifically this morning also in terms of how he has been good to you. I want you to think a little bit this morning about how God has been good to you, to reflect on his goodness. Acts 14:17, Paul describes the true God in Lystra, where he says he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God is good. And so we pause this morning again, to thank him and to praise him for his goodness. The problem often is, and we talked about that in our class this morning, that when things go sideways in our lives, or perceived sideways, and things happen that we don't like, that we question his goodness. And that in itself is somewhat of an issue. I come out of a Mennonite background. It's my cultural heritage. There's a book outlining what some of my ancestors went through during the Stalinist purges of the 30s, back in the former Soviet Union. The horror of starvation, the purges of food. They would have bumper crops and starve during the winter. High taxation, taxation mostly in food. But could you imagine a life where you think COVID is bad, where there was no food? None. My grandmother says there were times that they were so hungry where they would eat the leaves off of trees. I remember talking sometimes with my great uncle who went through those purges and eventually came to Canada, and he was separated from his wife for some 29 years and they were finally reunited. And he was asked on one occasion if they were mad at God for having gone through all those kinds of things. To which he replied, "We never thought of that. It never occurred to us." And so I thought to myself, how could he say that? Because there was an intrinsic belief and understanding that God was good. That even though things aren't going the way I may necessarily want, God is still good. And we don't have to blame him, or it's simply wrong to blame him, as Job was pushed to do, for things that don't go the way you want in your life, and then say that he's not good, or that maybe he doesn't love you, or maybe he's not looking out for you, or maybe that you blame him. No, God is good. I'm reminded of those kinds of stories from my grandma when I sit around the table, and we're getting towards Thanksgiving as well. This is kind of a whole combination of stuff. And we say, I remember saying this one time when I was a kid, this stuff is junk. And basically what we're doing is we're questioning the goodness of God and even providing the food for us on the table. How grateful we should be for the provisions of a good God. Never doubt the fact that God is good. And how dare we complain? This is one of the great tragedies of the people of Israel. In my devotional Bible that I've had for many, many years, as I trace the wanderings of the Israelites through the desert, it's an interesting assignment I would have for you sometime if you're reading the story. Outline how many times as you go through the chapters, they complained. They complained. They complained. They complained. And this is the thing that got under God's skin more than anything else. And Moses. The questioning of the goodness of God. After all that he had done for them, we are so rich. We are prosperous. Even the poorest among us. Do we thank God for his goodness? When we went to adopt Daria the first time in Russia, it was October. And I asked our tour guide. There was a truck parked in the field in the distance. There was a long line of people. I said, "What's with all the people lined up at the truck?" He says, potatoes? They're waiting half an hour to an hour to get a sack of potatoes. We have food, we have shelter, we have clothing, we have life, we have friends, we have freedom. We have hospitals, we have police, we have safety. We can vote tomorrow. It's not prearranged. We're not forced. They used to have free elections, you know, in the former Soviet Union. And you were expected to go vote. But there was only one name on the ballot. We have so much. This comes out of the goodness of God. We have a church family. Wonderful church family. The Lord has provided for us. He's good. But most of all, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing more good than that. That he offers a way of salvation that you can spend eternity with him. And I ask you, have you ever responded to the goodness of God? How wonderful that we have a God who is good. Secondly, we praise him for his goodness. Secondly, we praise him for his unfailing love. These are all tied together. They're saying kind of the same thing in different ways. It's part of Hebrew parallelism in the poetry. I get that, but it's a little bit of a different nuance. We praise him for his unfailing love. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Some translations, his unfailing devotion, his mercy. The Hebrew word, the common Hebrew word, is the word chesed. Steadfast love is probably as close as you can get. Loving kindness in some translations. And aren't you glad that God's love is always there in spite of ourselves? It's not fickle. We mess up, and he remains persistently faithful and caring towards us as his children. The idea here is that he never stops being good. Remind us of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. And who is the great epitome of that kind of love? It is God. His love that he has toward us as his people is an unfailing love. Friends can be fickle, inconsistent, disappointing, but God never is. And aren't you glad about that? Sometimes you email people and there's no response. I've had that on some occasions, you know, email and weeks go by, months go by, and nothing. No reply, or you send a leave a voice message and person there. But God is never like that. His perfect love is always there. It never fails. Again, we go back to the nation of Israel that was disloyal so often. But did God ever give up on his people? I would have. We'll get some other nation here, if that's the way you want to be. But never. One author put it this way, that God had a steady, persistent refusal to wash his hands of wayward Israel. He always hung in there with them. Moses described him this way in Exodus 34, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. In spite of ourselves, his love endures forever. And I ask you, as I ask myself in the last year, in the last month, in the last week, this morning, how often have we blown it? Have we rebelled? Have we done what's wrong? Messed up? I'm glad God doesn't love like I love. He is faithful. He loves you. The famous philosopher of an earlier day, his name, I forget which of the two it was, so I won't embarrass myself by being wrong, but he was asked what the most profound thought he ever had was in his life. To which he replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We praise God because He loves us. He loves you. Maybe nobody else has ever loved you, but God loves you. He never doesn't love you. And His love never fails. Now, human families are a very imperfect picture of that, but that is somewhat true. And if we have children, we understand that, right? Our kids don't always do what we would have liked them to do, or whether they're young or whether they're old, but we never stop loving them. And so it is with God, but in a perfect sense. Because He does what's best for us all the time as well. The old song by Elvis Presley, "I can't stop loving you." And I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but to a degree that is God. He does not stop loving us. He doesn't have a bad day. Oh, he says, "Talk to me tomorrow. There's enough nut houses in the world today. I got enough to handle." Are you thankful that He loves you? Praise Him. Forgives you. Psalm 86:5, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on You." So we praise Him. Praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for His unfailing love. And thirdly, we praise Him for His faithfulness. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. Now, somewhat the same as unfailing love, but a little bit of a different emphasis. A parallel and yet slightly different. For the emphasis here is upon His consistency. We've already alluded to that, but He is reliable. He doesn't change. When you come home from work, are you always the same? Now, sometimes our body language and our tone immediately gives away the fact of whether we've had a good day or a bad day, right? We're not always the same. But God is always the same. The God that was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God today. He does not change. He is faithful to His people. Completely reliable. That doesn't mean things are always going the way you want, but He understands. He is there. I've said this 1,000 times. There's not a hair that falls from your head that apart from the will of your Father who is in heaven. Now, for some, that's not a big deal, but for others, that's a... There's not a... I go for walks along the dike very frequently, almost every day on my exercise path, and I see the birds out there because it's a bird sanctuary in Tawasin at Boundary Bay, and sometimes it just boggles my mind because the Bible tells me that every one of those birds is cared for by God, and God provides for each one of them. I go, what about this insignificant little crow over here that I walked beside, or the Canada goose? I could do with a few less of those. But God cares for every one of those birds. I go, how come they're all fat? I don't see any food. But and then the rabbits are hopping around in the trail. I go, how'd they survive the winter? the faithfulness of God in looking after his creation. Completely reliable. A few weeks ago, I was cutting my lawn. I'm not too good at that. There was a guy in America Got Talent who was really good at the voices. But anyway, not me. And then I finally got the lawn cut. Next time, same thing. I mean, the plugs are starting to go. I haven't had a service now for a number of years. And I got time for the service. But God's not like that lawnmower. Not like your car. Not like your spouse. Not like you. Not like me. Faithful. A little more like my dog. Psalm 36:5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. It is limitless. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. And again, the God of Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Paul, Peter is the same God you serve. And we can trust him and rely on him because he is faithful. So we praise him today for everything about who God is and everything he has done. His goodness, his unfailing love, and his faithfulness. And so the Bible exhorts us as a result of that as his children to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Your heart at peace this morning, or is troubled? What does Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because he's good. He loves you. He's faithful to you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because of who God is. The best thoughts you can have are thoughts on God. And so we truly have reason to be a grateful people. And this church has benefited from the faithfulness of God. One of the first marks of a rebellious, defiant heart is ingratitude, unthankfulness, lack of praise. An ungrateful spirit is a sure mark of a spiritual problem. For those of us who know God will naturally be a people who praise him and thank him. And so that's what we have come to do this morning. But not only here for this hour, I hope when we leave this place, we would be reminded of the reality of who God is, how good he is, how loving he is, and how faithful he is. Not just philosophically, but very practically to you. And to me, every day, every hour, every minute. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for who you are, for your goodness. We used to sing songs, we still do about that. God is so good. God is so good, many years ago when I was a child. But we continue to sing about the goodness of God in the newer contemporary songs, and we keep being reminded of the fact of how good you are. There is no darkness in you. We thank you for your love, your chesed, a love that never fails. And for your faithfulness, your unchangeableness, your consistency. That no matter where we are, you are wholly there. What a privilege to be your people. May we keep that in mind, both in the good times and in the bad, that you rule all things in that goodness and in that love and in that faithfulness. And as we go on our way, that we would be reminded of that. We thank you for these years as a church, these months through the pandemic, that all of those things have been true, and that when things seem to go sideways, you remain faithful. And so we thank you, Father, that we don't come here just to go through some cerebral exercise, but that these things are matters of the heart and matters of our lives that really do make a difference. Remind us again this morning, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.